In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hey there, friends, and welcome to another episode of Strange Planet, and it is far stranger than any of us can possibly imagine. And if you'd like to get a little deeper into Strange Planet, please consider becoming a premium subscriber. All you need to do is click on the link in the episode description, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. What do you get? Well, you get access to commercial-free listening. I love my sponsors, but occasionally it's nice to listen uninterrupted. So advertising, free listening, commercial free listening. You also gain access to two special bonus episodes produced exclusively for premium subscribers every month, two bonus episodes per month. And you get my free monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. Become a premium subscriber. strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. All right, on this episode, directed energy weapons and false flags. We are going to speak with a good friend of the program who is world-renowned as a truth seeker, a code breaker, and peacemaker. Ole Damigard was awarded the Prague Peace Prize and also adopted by the Apache Nation, given the native Indian name of Weyekpela, I'll get him to pronounce it when we come back, when he comes on, which means the bright one. He's an author, international speaker, former journalist, musician, composer, coach, artist, inventor, and investigator who has dedicated more than 40 years to researching many of the global conspiracies. And he has become an expert, a world-leading expert now on false flag operations. He's accurately predicted on international radio some 60 alleged terror attacks up to 2 months before they occurred, and in addition stopped several planned massacres. By far the biggest one, a massive operation consisting of 39 coordinated attacks in conjunction with the planned release of the coronavirus in October 2019. And he's also the founder of the website lightonconspiracies.com. Ole, welcome back to Strange Planet. How are you?
Thank you so much, Richard. I'm doing great, great. And I loved the intro where you said the studio underneath the stairs, because when my daughter grew up, she was always used to Studio One and Studio Two. Where's Dad? He's in Studio One. That was a small little toilet, where I had like a blanket over my head to avoid the echo. And so that was Studio One, and the bedroom was Studio Two. So
there you go.
High-end quality. Yay.
Well, I'm underneath the stairs, so my children call me, they call me Harry Potter because he lived under the stairs. Okay. A little, mirth and merriment before we delve into some dark topics. So before we get started, because we're going to talk about directed energy weapons and a warning of a future target, possibly. First, a little primer on directed energy weapons, if we could. What are they? How do they work? Who's controlling them?
Very good question. I know to a certain level, but it's very high when you come into weapon technology and these type of operations. It's very hard to know the layers and where the orders come from and so on. But directed energy weapons are in many different shapes and forms. You can go to Lockheed Martin's website. They brag about their directed energy weapons that have been developed for the last 50 odd years. Raytheon, same thing there. You got, what's the name? Humming, I always forget that name. Another big weapon manufacturer in the US also bragging about these things. Many of them now controlled through different ownership level by BlackRock. And so directed energy weapons to certain extents are like, you have micro weapons, like just like a micro oven, but instead of being able to blow up a sausage inside it, you can direct it, open the lid and then direct that and then multiply it with whatever. So that can be used in many different ways, all the from the level of more or less voice to skull. I mean, lower things that can make you feel uncomfortable, feel you sad, feel you depressed, up to absolute complete destruction of targets. And it is very cheap compared to other things. I mean, you don't have to fire grenades or missiles that are very costly. You can just, as long as there's a battery that can charge it, you can use laser beams connected with microwave weaponry that is extremely cheap and very, very terrifying in its capacity of destroying targets. So that's just a short one. There's also, there's many different type of technologies, but that is to a large extent just a general overview.
All right, so before we get into a future target, and again, that's one of the main reasons we're having you on here, is to issue a warning for a future target for a directed energy weapon. Again, not to instill fear, but old adage, forewarned, forearmed. So let's talk about a potential previous target, and everyone, of course, familiar with the horrible tragedy that took place in August of 2023, the so-called Maui wildfires in Hawaii. So let's talk about the signature or the signatures, the clues that this wildfire was in fact the result of a directed energy weapon. And then we can get into, why, but let's talk about the how and, proof that it was a directed energy weapon.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay with you if I rewind the tape a little bit in history?
Absolutely.
So during the Second World War, we had an incredible inventor that was the first one that came up with the term energy weapon. And in 1947, after his death, the main fires in the U.S. is the first, I think, the first result of these energies being weapon tested out after they killed him. And so...
you're talking about Nikola Tesla, of course.
I forgot to mention it. I just woke up. So Nikola Tesla was murdered. He did not die. He was murdered at the New Yorker Hotel in New York. And as if I'm correct, then he was murdered by Reinhard Gehlen and Otto, still not really awake, but Hitler's former bodyguard, who went in there and suffocated him, stole some of the these inventions that was later then moved over, or they were went into the operation that later became the CIA. It was controlled by them. And so in 1947, we had these fires in Millionaire Row in Maine, where you had you have normal fires where you can see a fire comes to a place, everything dry, or of, I think, carbon more or less can burn, you know, but it will leave concrete, it will leave steel, it will leave aluminum, it will leave this, and trees will burn, lawns will burn, you know, the whole thing with a normal fire. In 47, that the first time we see that suddenly the buildings were just leveled, they were dustified, there was this white powder left. But nothing. And next to it could be a green tree. The lawns were green. It didn't make any sense. And also trees burning from the inside out instead of from the outside in. All kinds of anomalies that was not has never been explained, other than if you start looking into directed energy weapons, this type of technology, microwave weapons, that has the exact same thing, that it heats from the inside out. It does. That is exactly what it does. And I'm speculating, but I believe that the main fires was the first time when they started seeing what could be done with this weaponry. And when I say they, I say the people who stole it and who have then later used it in many different forms. Then it seems like, as far as I know, I haven't really seen it being used for these type of fires until, is it 8-10 years ago when the California fire started? You have in other areas of the world as well. At 9/11 also, where we see these incredibly weird things where half a car is completely fried, the engine block is melted, aluminum wheels are just floating out in the street, and the other part of the car is untouched, absolutely untouched. Paper is not burned, wood is not burned. You see, like, there can be a wooden fence, and the wood is left right in the middle of this incredible fire. The wood is left, but everywhere where there's a metal nail, that it's burned around that. So it's like the energy is going and sort of vibrating into metal. That is as far as I can say. I'm an amateur in this area, but anything that has been in contact with iron and other specific metals will sort of get an incredible temperature rise and will look like a fire, but it's not really a fire. And in California, we've seen many of these fires also, where the interesting thing is that it's more or less all of them are inside the borders of California, where they also go hand in hand with the mapping out of Agenda 21 of future railroads. Sometimes it's areas where they want to clear a wooden area because of 5G, the release of 5G, and all of these things where forests and trees are problems for the technology. We will see the same type of fires, and where it's almost like ethnic cleansing, where they're cleansing the areas, getting rid of people, and also just taking over the properties. And sometimes these attacks are done in areas where property value is high, but they're still, you know, like you still have minorities living in maybe high rises or you know, like people, and they want to get rid of them, but they cannot just say, get the hell out, you know, because that would, people would react. Instead, if you have these type of fires, you can clear the area, then you help the victims by relocating them into like 400-500 miles away from home where they have nothing. And then you say, well, we really helped them. Here you are, go and survive on your own. And then they take over. And then within a few years, you will see it being rebuilt as an incredible place, earning absolute millions and billions in combination with the other things. That is also what we see after hurricanes that are very often, I would suggest, not natural. You can see the natural movements of these hurricanes, not at all. They're coming in, they're staying over target, they stay. Very specific, very precise hurricanes that then once, when they leave, you have these areas that are completely devastated. Many times people are relocated or found dead in mass graves or whatever. And then it's being rebuilt as high-end real estate.
So if I could just kind of recap, because there's a lot of information packed in there. So Nikola Tesla dies at the New Yorker Hotel, 1947, was murdered, as you're saying, by Reinhard Gehlen, who was Hitler's sort of chief spy on the Russian front or the Eastern Front, exfiltrated into the United States during Operation Paperclip and became a highly placed official. Some say was actually in charge of the precursor to the CIA, which was the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS. So he and an accomplice murder Tesla, steal his plans for the death ray, I think it was called, which Tesla, I think, once said that could be used to shoot down airplanes from something like 250 miles away. This was some kind of a particle beam or electromagnetic weapon. I think he believed, Tesla's belief was that this could be, like nuclear weapons, it would be a deterrence to war. He thought he could actually end wars by creating this death ray, and then it got into the wrong hands. And you're saying there's evidence shortly after 47 in Maine where we're starting to see a different type of fire that seems to be very discriminating. It'll burn some things and not others. Flash forward to the California wildfires, same thing. And you're saying that now it seems to be, it is being used as part of UN Agenda 20, well, it was UN Agenda 2021, now it's UN Agenda 2030, in order to clear out certain populated areas to clear the way for the creation of things like smart cities. I guess that pretty much sums it up. Do you want to jump ahead then to the horrible tragedy in Lahaina on the island of Maui?
Yeah, so just like you say, Agenda 21, which is the agenda for the 21st century, as part of that, you have these smart cities and also smart islands where it will be the Internet of Things, where everything will be digitally controlled, controlled by AI, and where this planning has been going on for a long, long time, the mapping of different areas of exactly how they want to create these future like 15-minute cities and really like lock us in big time. And part of that is that they need to destroy what is there now so that they can rebuild out of the rubble their version of the future. And so never ever have we seen such a brutal attack as on in Lahaina and Maui, where you see, once again, you see incredible laser-like precision where it follows like like everything is burned on one side of the street, or maybe a gas station is left, or this mansion, or that hotel, or that, completely without no damage whatsoever. And the rest of it is just flattened. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, like, except things that are blue. Yeah. And which is very odd, but we now managed to determine that when they use blue laser light with these directed energy weapons, they're both particle beams and microwave weapons also being involved in this whole thing. And it will leave blue things untouched. So that is one way also, if you're the aggressor, if there are things you want to leave, you can paint them blue, or you can put blue tarp on, or you can do whatever you do with that is blue will be left untouched. This is why we see these completely burnt out cars. I mean, there's nothing left, no tires, no seats, no anything is gone. And then right next to it, you got a blue car that is completely intact in the middle of this chaos. That is the reason why. So in Lahaina, when that happened, I got scared because I live in Bali, which is an island that are very, very similar in many ways to Maui. When you look at the footage from Maui, it could have been from here in Bali. And so when things like this happen and you start seeing the anomalies, I'm not looking for the reason for a wildfire. I'm looking for a reason of what actually happened, you know, and what was the buildup, because there's always a lot of planning going on and people being placed in key positions so that they can control it. There would be mapping of the area, laser mapping and so on, so that they can do digital clones of the areas of buildings and so on, so that they can do all of the preparations in the digital world before they go live. And also who has access to technology like that? I mean, who is it? Some farmer in New Jersey, or is it like an extremist, the right extremist wing somewhere? Or are we talking high-end, high? I would say absolutely the highest of the high. No one, very, very few, have access to technology on that level. And so Lahaina, I spent many, 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 many hours looking into that one, also looking into the years before, what was the buildup of this thing that happened in the beginning of August 2023. And I found that there were very specific parts in this operation that was falling into place.
All right, why don't we take a time out? We'll come back and we'll talk about the planning stages that led up to the August decimation of Lahaina on the island of Maui. Ole Domegaard stays with us. LightOnConspiracies.com, the website. Back with more of our conversation right after these.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market, you know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive.
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you. Now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911. There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Ole Damagard is with us, a world leading expert in predicting false flag operations, but we're also talking about directed energy weapons, which is the suspected culprit in the so-called wildfires in Lahaina on the island of Maui in Hawaii, a directed energy weapon. So you were going to talk about sort of leading up to the August attack, let's call it. There was kind of this a step-by-step kind of planning that went into that. So go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, when you have an operation like that, you need the mapping of the area, which was done long before, where the smart city, the smart island design, all of that was being put into place. Then we had the replacement of people like the governor, the police chief, who was also the one controlling the crime scenes and so on. These people, and also the one that were clearing the fires afterwards. And these people were handpicked. You had the police chief of Las Vegas, where one of the biggest alleged massacres ever happened. He was headhunted very specifically from Las Vegas together with his deputy to Maui, breaking all kinds of rules to get him into the position of chief of police, who was also in charge of the bodies, who was also in charge of the investigation. The governor was replaced. We had several other people also replaced. There were people dying under strange circumstances, like the secretary of the new police chief, John Pelletier, who in a very, very odd car crash. I mean, this is a woman who was very close to the police chief for some 30 years and would know a lot. When Pelletier came in, she suddenly dies in this very weird car crash. Anyway, so these people that are later very crucial in the whole narrative are within a year or two before this happened, moved in so that they're there. All the normal trusted people that would look critically into this were being removed, taken away. So suddenly you had the same players in central position here. Then if we just take 2023, you have in, I think it was in January on the local news there, you will see that they were coming out with the news that the U.S. Army Corps are right now doing a laser mapping of the Hawaiian island. Do not worry. These green lasers that you will see at night, it's just for mapping. It has nothing. So just enjoy the spectacle, more or less. So we have laser mapping of the area. Okay. So also at the same time, a year or so before, but also coming up following this, was Operation Blue Roof by the very same U.S. Army Corps. Please remember the blue, the color blue, that could protect against lasers. And so the U.S. Army Corps offered, since I think 2017, in different areas that have been hit by hurricanes and other disaster areas, especially in Florida, that you can, if you have any kind of problems, please call in. We will put on a blue roof on your building for free.
This is like a permanent roof. Is it like a metal? No.
It's a tarp. Oh. And this is to protect from hurricanes. I don't know if a tarp has ever protected anything from a hurricane. But anyway, a blue tarp. But that blue tarp, I managed to track down the manufacturer, and it protects against 5G and EMF, which is like, what is that kind? That is a very odd tarp if you compare to just holding rainwater out, mm-hmm. you know, like that. So if you look at, here we have the U.S. Army Corps again. That was also on Hawaii, where there was an operation with these blue roofs going on. So is that possibly part of the operation where they will say, we move into this area, these buildings are keepers, these are the things that fit into our agenda, so we will put a blue roof on them to make sure that nothing happens to them. We have a lot of celebrities also on Maui that started painting their roofs and buildings blue in the year upcoming to this whole thing, just as if they were informed beforehand.
So just so I understand, the blue roof is done before the laser mapping so that those buildings don't show up on the laser map and therefore they're not going to be targeted? Is that what?
No, you got the laser mapping, that screen laser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you have the attack lasers and the direct energy weapons are blue lasers.
Ah, and because they're a blue roof, they won't absorb the...
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm speculating now, but the way I see the agenda being played out is that they go in and into an area, they map the area, they've looked at the area before, they go in and they say, because of this hurricane or whatever, or risks of heavy rains, we will help you by handpicking, because everybody can call in and say, I would like a blue roof, but they handpick the buildings that will be granted them for free. And then when you as a house owner fill out the formulas, you allow them to enter into your premises. You allow them to take over if something should happen to protect your building, I would say, or maybe you're signing over the rights of your building to them.
Right.
Because look at Lahaina, people have been moved out and not let back in.
Ah, so sorry, it reminds me of something. Like if you're having your house reno'd and, you know, you're going to have certain walls torn down, you want to open up the space, you know, maybe this window is going to be knocked out, this wall is going to be knocked out, you might put a piece of tape on there or an X to indicate to the demolition people to come in, take this wall out, leave this here. So that's what they're doing in anticipation of creating these smart cities. They're signaling which to the operators of the directed energy weapon, okay, so we're going to lay out our smart city. This building over here, that gets destroyed. The one next to it, we're going to keep that one. The three next to it, they're going to be destroyed.
Yeah, exactly, because it's not only that it is to show the operators of the laser weapons what not to hit, they will be intact because the laser cannot, you will see, we've done different experiments where you can go across different colors and it burn, and then there's a blue object, nothing, and then it burns again. Right. So it's like, it's a perfect protection. So you got that. Then you have the next step. There are multiple steps here that are moving forward like this. You will see people start buying up the masses of lands that when the prices are at a certain level, you got different celebrities that come in and just, you know, incredible way land masses, including roads that cross the island so that they control that, you know, people cannot move. We have Oprah, we have many other movie actors and so on, you can see their houses were completely untouched. None of them were hit. And you have also, as part of this whole operation, there is a release of gene-modified mosquitoes. This, I'm saying, I'm looking at patterns now in different areas of the world, okay? So you have in many areas in Florida, you have in certain African countries, you got here in Bali, they were going to release millions and millions and millions of gene-modified mosquitoes distributed by Bill Gates. They have a factory down in I think it's Colombia, where they're and also with different laboratories around here in Indonesia as well, where they are, according to themselves, they're fighting malaria, dengue fever, avian flu with these gene-modified mosquitoes. But these modified mosquitoes, when you really start looking at them, I would suggest are mosquitoes from hell, from absolute hell. Within two generations of mosquitoes, the normal population dies and are replaced by these ones. Then the first 2-3 years, everything looks fine. And then you start having very weird things where people, like in Australia, when they've been bitten by these mosquitoes, they develop like small little wounds where the body starts eating itself. I mean, awful things and very, very hard to
cure. So they're
a
bioweapon. They've been designed as a bioweapon.
If you ask me, that is exactly what they are. Bioweapons is the word. And you will see also that, for instance, the dengue fever, which is a big problem here in Indonesia and other, it was developed in the late 60s or 70s, I can't remember right, by the CIA as a bioweapon aiming at Cuba at that time. And then they started using it in other tropical areas. You will see these things, they come from nowhere and suddenly we have this infested area and with problems. And then they come in with a solution. So in Maui, you have this, they say the avian flu, which was a danger to a very rare bird species. Okay, fine, let's help the birds. So the way they've done in Maui, and I've been in touch a lot with people in Maui, including the Hawaiian King's family and so on. So I'm really trying to do my best with them. Anyway, so what they've done there, they started releasing, I think it was 10 or 12 million mosquitoes every second week. And they're going to do it for 20 years. I mean, once again, we have a limited space. It's an island. You release 10 or 12 million every 2 weeks for 20 years. What on earth? How much do you care about these birds? Mm. Yeah. But what I believe is happening is that they're trying to weaponize nature, the place where we can go and have a rest and recuperate and so on. Because the idea is, in smart cities, you will not be allowed to leave this digital grid. That's why they're trying to get away with all the, the normal fueled cars, so that it's electric cars and everything digital, so that you cannot leave.
It's a prison.
In these cities,
it's a prison. Yeah,
it's a digital prison. It's the Truman Show. A 15-minute. That's it.
So the mosquitoes that are being released that are now, within a couple generations of them, as you say, are now turned into, instead of being inoculators, they are now a bioweapon. They will be released into the wild so that if you try and escape the 15-minute city, you're going to be attacked by mosquitoes. How do they keep them out of the 15-minute city, though?
It's very easy. Geofencing, very easy. You know, you have these things that you can buy online. You put in a socket. It generates a sound that keeps the mosquitoes away. Mm. It's very simple. You have a geofencing around that. And on the outside of these smart cities that are here for your happiness and protection, you will own nothing, but you will be very happy. If you go out there, you will be attacked by these I have no idea what even to call them, but bioweapon nature that will just scare you to stay there. They don't have to worry about you trying to escape, because if you go out there, And two generations of mosquitoes, that is within 1 month. Then, so it's not like 100 years. Mosquitoes live, die, live, die, live, die. And so these are being replaced. And you will see that in Florida and in other areas, very, very odd mosquito types have just turned up, you know, long tail. They look very different and they bite like hell. They really bite really, really hard.
Ole, I've got to take a...
This is just the beginning.
Okay, Ole, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll talk about looking ahead. Where is the next possible target for one of these directed energy weapon strikes? Ole Damgaard stays with us back in a moment with more.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Ole Damgaard is with us. Peacemaker, code breaker, winner of the Prague Peace Prize, and an expert in identifying false flag operations. We're also talking about directed energy weapons. Before we move on to the next target, President Biden supposedly said something, he's in his advanced stage of dementia. Sometimes he blurts things out, and sometimes maybe he says the quiet part out loud. He mentioned something about he visited some place that had been ravaged by wildfires, and he said something about blue-roofed houses surviving wildfires.
That's what I'm saying. Mm. It's these fires, so many of them are not normal fires. You will see, once again, the anomalies. Look at the fires. It's a no-brainer. Once you start seeing it, no-brainer. We've sent in experts, you know, forest fire experts, and they say we've never seen anything like it. So
the next target, dear
Mr. Biden also finally went to Maui. And what did he say? He said, FEMA is here. Thank God they were there before it even started. That's really handy as well. And then they will help us finish the job. That's it. The enemy is from within. I say this again, the enemy, and I'm really putting myself on the line here. I would say the ones that carried out the attack on Maui, it was part of an operation called Talisman Saber 23. Talisman Saber, like the light sword, 23, was the U.S. Space Force. The U.S. Space Force. And once I really started finding and pinpointing them, I also found clues where I've been able to predict multiple other fires that has then happened and carried out by the very same U.S. Space Force. So
how did you determine the code name for that Talisman
Saber
23?
Yeah, it's on their own website. It's on their own website. And that the thing that is scary with this is that when these type of operations are carried out, there's always a drill first. The drill is where they coordinate all the sources, where they practice, where they rehearse, where they put everything in place, and then boom, they go live. Very often these are NATO drills, NATO operations that are first go through that, and then they go live. You will see so many times over the years, I do not say this lightly, something happens, boom. But if you just rewind the tape a little bit and you will see just weeks before or hours before, days before, there was a drill, an exercise in that area. And so when I looked into the Maui fires, I was not prepared for Maui at all. I had no idea. And then, of course, with my knowledge, I was looking, was there a drill? Was there an exercise in the area? And that was the thing that got me on track of Operation Talisman Saber 23. And that was a joint operation of countries with paradise islands. Very unusual. Normally that is not the scenario or the members of these exercises. But you had Tonga, Singapore, New Zealand, Indonesia, Thailand, Japan, the UK, who have a lot of these islands as well, the US.
Tropical islands with beautiful sandy beaches.
There you go. Real estate, high value, also smart island. You know, on an island, it's so much easier because limited space surrounded by water, you only need to control this. It's not like a big continent. So, and also I saw the whole, how they set it up, and you will see on the website, they're talking about it as well. And they had this drill that went all the way up until just a few days before this attack occurred, where they were rehearsing, where they were going through all of it. And then they went back to Fort Kirkland, I believe in Colorado, but the U.S. Space Force seems to need also, like a fortress or a station close to the targeted area. I'm not sure if that is needed, but at least that is what I see. And on the Space Force website, it's packed with clues and pointers and bizarre. It is a very, very odd thing. When you look at it, they're not talking about soldiers. They're talking about guardians, their emblems. Like they've got one emblem. It's like you got like three laser beams going down from the sky to the earth, to the world. And what it's pointing at is exactly at Hawaii, you know. Hmm. And it's on and on. But anyway, so... I know maybe we're short of time, that I should move forward. So please, I'm not here to freak anyone out. I'm not here to scare anyone. But yet again, it is only when we start understanding their modus operandi and understanding the steps, the recipe of these disasters, that if we can catch them in the beginning, then we have a possibility to stop them. Because like all other criminals, they can only work in the dark, in the shadows. If you aim the spotlight at them, boom, you neutralize them. They cannot carry it out if enough people know about it. So I've been looking in many different areas of the world, looking for these signs, because we have mosquito releases. We have other areas that have been attacked by hurricanes where it's thought like, what is that? You know, very odd ones. Florida is one of these areas. Florida is one of these areas where you got U.S. Space Force, you got FEMA on location, you got the Florida is also the backyard of the CIA, has been for many, many, many years. The, you know, J.M. Wade, you have Miami, you have Disney World, the whole shebang is right there. You have multiple different false flag operations that have been carried out. The Pulse Club in Orlando, you had the Parkland shooting, and you had, it's very limited space and very close to each other. And so not long ago, there was on the local news in Florida that there had been green laser coming from the sky. And I was like, whoa, what? Say again, because this is exactly in an area that ticks the other boxes. Right. And the green laser was carried out about 5-6 months before the attack, meaning
in Maui.
That if it's in Maui. Yeah. So if this is correct, then we have maybe 4 or 5 months to stop this whole thing, if I'm on target here.
We're specifically in Florida.
It was at over a city called Cape Coral.
Cape Coral.
Cape Coral. And right outside there, you got FEMA, you got Fort Myers, you got the U.S. Army Corps also. And the U.S. Space Force is very close on the other side of the eastern coast of, I think it's called Fort Randall. On the east coast of Florida. So all of it is very closely knit together. Exactly, if you compare to Maui, the setup is similar. And so in comes the green laser. And so on the local news, they were interviewing people. They were saying, the people said, I don't know. They were flying. It was one single plane flying up and down. And the green laser was being filmed going like this, exactly like the same type of mapping here. This was a private plane, or a plane that was owned by a company called Randolph or Ranolo LLC.
Oh, I'm looking at a local news story as you're talking to me. I'm typing this in. Cape Coral residents see mysterious green flight lasers. This is February 13, 2024. And the news organization, WINK News, they checked airports and radar to find out who might be responsible for this plane that was scanning in green. And the plane was registered to Randigo LLC. Yes. It's registered in Wilmington, Delaware. Randigo LLC. Okay.
Yeah. And that one, I mean, we're talking lasers over a city. Okay, is that a private person playing around with this stuff? If it goes for an hour, something would happen. Somebody would react from the U.S. Air Force or whatever. You know, this is very odd. But this is, it comes from an airport in Alabama, I believe, which is Alabama is also very close to, or is the center for Operation Paperclip and many other things in that. But it's a local, small little airstrip. And I was on Michael Jacob's show, who's a former CIA. And when we were talking about this, the usage of this airstrip and this type of company, I didn't want to say it because for me, it smells CIA a long way with the way they also, when you look at the ownership of this company, very covered, you know, like this is owned by this, is owned by this, is owned by this. And so I asked Michael, he said, CIA, CIA, CIA. Okay, fine. So we have, if that is correct, we have very odd green laser mapping of an area carried out by one plane allowed up there and possibly controlled by CIA. This is not good news at all, I would suggest. Then you have also the release of mosquitoes are in the area. You also have, there's a smart city planning for Cape Coral. They already had the whole layout of that. The mapping is done, the architecture is done, the funding is done to certain extents. And then on the US Space Force website, there I found other clues. You know, there's these photos. I have to just say that one of the reasons I'm famous for this is not because I'm sort of like, I get it, you know, this thing out of a vision. It's because I've been contacted by insiders who have told me how they do it, you know. And one of the things they do is they leave hidden clues about upcoming attacks in the forensic evidence or somewhere, because according to this insider, he said they are terrified of the law of karma because they do so much bad. But the way they see it is that if they show us even in subtle ways what they're going to do and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders. They told us we should have known better and stopped it.
I guess that makes sense. I've always looked at it as kind of in a slightly different way. I'll get your feedback on this. I mean, I think ultimately these individuals that are doing this are satanic. And it's almost like they look at these horrible tragedies as a work of art, right? For them, evil is beautiful. And when they perpetrate these tragedies, it's like this work of art, and like an artist will sign his masterpiece. They can't sign it. They can't reveal who they are. So they leave these little signatures in a way so they can say, yes, we did this. I don't know. That's just my thought.
I think it's a combo, mm-hmm. But with this person said, who is on the inside, I listen to him because I can speculate and think whatever,
right.
But it came from him. And it was in the fall of 2014 that he contacted me. And that was the first time I started seeing, oh my God, he seems to be correct. And it's since then that I've been so focused on finding the hidden clues and have predicted 69 of these ones now, up until 2 months before they happened, because I followed what he said. And so on the U.S. Space Force, there's like one photo of they're handing out a medal or something like that to a soldier. You can't see the face. There's no head. It's just a uniform. But the name tag is Oh my god. Brain's dead.
That's okay.
The name, yeah, sorry about that, but the name tag is a place in Chile where just very not long after I pointed that out, laser attacks or direct energy weapons attack was carried out in that exact area. Then there were other ones pointing from there towards a Spanish island. Directed energy weapons were carried out there. And then there's another photo on this website also. There's so many weird things on this website that is pointing in different direction. But another name tag where they're holding the US banner like this vertical, not the US Space Force banner. They're holding it horizontal, not vertical, like this. And the guy who's standing behind it, his name tag is Coffin, which I thought, that's an odd name. Yeah. But you have in Florida, just north of Tampa, which is not far from Cape Coral, there's one place called Coffin. And then you got the island area just south of Florida, the Coffin Bay, Coffin this, Coffin that. So that's another one where I think it's possible that they're pointing in this direction.
Do they have, is Operation Blue Roof also very active in Cape Coral?
Yep. They've I think between 6,000 and 11,000 buildings since 2017, if I was informed correctly, have been equipped with blue roofs. So wow. It's like, whoa, that is a lot. And so I would suggest, why not do a private mapping, you know, fly drones over the areas and see what buildings are blue, is this, and then compare them to future maps of the Agenda 21 smart city layout. Is it possible that these two would just over map each other, you know, fit in perfectly? Because that would also prove that my theory could be correct. And if so, we really need to do something. Maybe one thing would be to tear these blue roofs down or paint them red or whatever, you know, so that we are messing it up for the ones that wants to attack us, you know, or at least become aware of it months ahead of before they pull the trigger.
Well, there you go. A warning not to create unnecessary fear, but Ole, you have recognized the patterns, you've identified targets previously, and so it's only prudent to consider this, that Cape Coral, if we're looking at the same time frame as Maui, which you know, the lasers and so forth around January, February, the fire in August of 2023. So now we're into February was when the lasers were seen in Cape Coral. So again, we're looking at perhaps August of 2024. So a possible wildfire in quotes coming to Cape Coral. Let's hope not, but again, forewarned, forearmed. Well, Ole, we're going to have you back on because there's so much else to discuss. We had recently, in fact, we'll get you on soon if we can, if you're available, because we had the, of course, the Singapore flagged ship slamming into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Baltimore is probably one of the most important ports in all of America. It's going to disrupt supply chains. What's that all about? Some people, well, there's a lot of intel chatter suggesting that that was a deliberate attack, not an accident. And then, of course, we had that horrific terrorist attack, so-called, in Moscow at a concert hall. So we'll talk about those as well. Ole, thank you so much, as always. LightOnConspiracies.com, the website, and the link is in the episode notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. And I just want to say, when you mentioned like this bridge thing and other, you've got an landslide in Sweden, you got other areas, it's precision bombing. Look at these, where exactly does these accidents happen? They're cutting it up. It is not a coincidence, I tell you, not.
All right. Until next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.